read the text and bring the thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart without a doubt for today.
Amen.
And this is what I was going to preach to you on Wednesday night. And so rather than preaching it on Wednesday night, we'll just bring it today. Amen. And preaching on a subject that most of us, I'd say, and including myself, may know a little bit about vaguely. But I'd say it, we don't know a great deal about it biblically. But God wants us to know about it. Not only we know about it, but God wants us to possess it as well. And so I want to try to preach to you a little while this morning. I'll tell you what I'm preaching on in just a minute. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings and chapter number 2. A very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Kings and chapter number 2. The translation of Elijah, the prophet of God. My throat's a little scratchy this morning. But it doesn't seem to be bothering me, but it's a little annoying to you, I'm sure. All right. Verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 2. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that word. Let's ask God to help us this morning in the preaching of the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the Sunday school hour that you gave us this morning, for the good song service and the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the marathon and what was accomplished on it. I pray now for the liberty that we need in God's house today, for your Spirit to work in and through us, that the Lord, that sinners might be saved and that your name might be glorified. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless those that are sick, and especially those, Lord, Jonathan and little Nathan, that have broken bones in their bodies. I pray especially for them, that you'd touch them and heal them. Help Brother Maney today as well. Others that are sick, I pray for them. But, Lord, I pray most of all that your name would be glorified and your people would be blessed today. Fill me, I pray, with the Spirit of God, and help me to say something that will be a blessing and a help to your people. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what is accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Elijah asked Elijah, what shall I do for thee before I be taken away? Amen. And Elisha said, that I may have a double portion of thy spirit. And the answer was, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, it shall be given unto thee. But if you see me not, it shall not be given unto thee. A double portion of thy spirit. I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me a little while, on the thought, Elisha's desire for power. You know, power is something that's difficult to understand, the power of God that He has for you and I. I've found it so in my own life, very difficult to explain it. I know man can possess it because I have, but I find it very hard to possess. To describe. But also, I find that there's not many of God's people that know a great deal about what the power of God is. Now, if I had to illustrate it in any way from the Bible, it would have to come from the night that Jacob spent wrestling with the angel of the Lord. The Bible said he wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. And when dawn began to come and the sun began to rise, the angel of the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, not so. Not until you've blessed me. And the Bible went on to say that God did bless Jacob there that day, that morning. And being blessed, the Bible said that he had power both with man and with God. And, you know, I believe that's what the power of God is. It's when you and I are so filled with the Holy Spirit that we have not only power with God, but we have power with men as well. That is, that we get from God what we ask of Him, and then we're able to speak and accomplish things in the hearts of men that will bring glory and honor to God. And I want to preach on that power. I want to say, first of all, that there is a price to pay for the power of God. And our problem today is there's not many. I want to say, first of all, there's not many preachers that's willing to pay that price. And there's very few individuals in the churches that are willing to pay that price to have the power of God on them. You know, Brother Paul said that he wanted the power of God to rest upon him, that is, to abide there. But there's not very few people, there's not very many people really that are interested in possessing the power of Almighty God, because there is a price to pay for that. And part of that price is that we're going to have to starve the flesh. You know, I don't think people realize the appetite that the flesh has. If you think us fellas around here have got an appetite for banana pudding, son, you've not seen anything until you've seen the power that the flesh has the appetite that the flesh has. And it desires to be fed. You know, Paul said in Galatians that the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and they are contrary one to another. And if we're ever going to have the power of God, we're going to have to learn to starve that flesh. I mean back away from its table. I'm talking about cutting it off. If I may say, I'm talking about crucifying the flesh. That it have no power nor influence over the spiritual man. God has told us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that we'll do. We can starve it if we will walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. But we're going to have to learn to starve the Spirit and stop feeding it. Somebody said, how do we feed it? Well, I know some of you is going to get mad right here, but you can get glad again. But we sat in front of that television a whole lot, and we'll feed the flesh rather than starving it. We'll look at things that we ought not to look at, and we'll feed the flesh rather than starving it. Now, I'm going to tell you what I've learned that we'll do. We will push ourselves as close to the limit as we can without really crossing over the line. And in doing so, we don't realize we may not be doing, we may not be sinning, so to speak, but we're certainly making provisions for the flesh. I'll guarantee you on that. And I've watched young people. It's kind of like young people. They'll get right up close to the line. They want to get just as close to the line as they can without sinning against God. Now, I want to say you better be careful. If you come too close to it, one of these days that sin is sure to come. I'm telling you that the flesh is stronger than what you and I realize that it is today. And brother, we better stay away from those things that create an appetite for this flesh, or I'll guarantee you it will wind up getting us and putting us in a bind someday or in a place that we're not able to get out of. So we're going to have to starve that flesh. I mean, we're going to have to starve it. I won't say secondly, we're going to have to seek the throne of grace. Amen. Brother Paul said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But let me ask you something this morning. Are we really seeking the throne of God's grace? And there's only one way I know to do that, and that's on our knees in prayer. I'm talking about getting behind the veil. I'm speaking about getting inside our closet and getting a hold of God and seeking His throne for the grace that we need in this hour. That's right. Do you ever stop and think that a praying man cannot be intimidated by the devil? Son, I'm telling you, he is the most intimidating person in all the world. He will. He'll intimidate you. But I'm telling you, a praying man cannot be intimidated by the devil. He'll try to prevent you from doing anything that will glorify the Lord or doing anything in the service of God to help the local church and the ministry. He'll do everything he can to prevent that. But a man or a woman that'll stay behind that veil and stay on their knees and seek the throne of grace, I'll guarantee you, cannot be intimidated by the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil is the one that will entice you to chase after the flesh and to lust after that flesh. But I'll tell you, a praying man won't be intimidated. Boy, old Joseph was a praying man. Better believe he was. And the devil said one day, there's Potiphar's wife. All you got to do is go in. Oh, she even wants you, man. Jump right in there and get her. But I'm going to tell you, Joseph ran in the other direction. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There was the flesh. Oh, yes, he was a man just like we are and of like passions as we are. And there was the flesh that was being enticed, but the enticer was the devil himself, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, a praying man like Joseph could not be intimidated by the devil. Thank God. Amen. Say amen right there. Then I won't say that a praying man that's seeking the throne of grace is not always going to be indecisive about his plans.
Right.
I've never seen too many people today that really don't know. I mean, people today are like a dog chasing his tail. They really don't know what they want from God, and they don't know where to find what they need from God, and they're like a dog chasing his tail. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Come on in the house now. Come on in the house. But I'm telling you that a praying man that is seeking the throne of God's grace will have the will of God and know the mind of God and won't have any problem deciding on the plans that God has for him, his life, and his family. Amen. I'm going to tell you what most people do. Come on in the house now. We just float along in life, letting whatever will happen, happen. Why, after all, don't you know, Brother Hall, that whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway? And there's not a thing that we can do about it. I beg to differ with you. The Lord said if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, friend, we can move a mountain.
Right. Right.
Oh, yes, we can accomplish things by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not always what will be. I'm telling you, we can make a change. Praying people, God's people, and praying people can make a change, ladies and gentlemen, in the lives of other people.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir. I believe with all of my heart. I know Christ has got to save. I know Christ has got to save. But I'm telling you, a praying man or a praying woman can put the Holy Ghost on a sinner in such a way that that sinner will break down and flee to Christ and be saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. I like that story old Brother Mays Jackson told years ago, and you've heard it many times, but you're going to hear it again. He said he was preaching at Georgia Tech, and a woman come to him and said, Brother Mays, said, my son's going to be here this week. He goes to Georgia Tech. He's a scholar. And said he's going to sit and write down everything you preach on. He's going to prove that the Bible and your preaching is totally wrong. Brother Mays said, you bring him and set him down right there, and he'll either get in, get out, or get run over, one of the three. And said the first night that old boy sat there and just wrote and looked up and wrote and looked up and wrote in his little notebook, you know. Second night come along, said the young man sat down again when Brother Jackson started preaching and sat there. He wrote in his little Bible and wrote in his little Bible and wrote in his little book there, you know. Third night, same thing. Fourth night, the same thing. But on Friday night, Brother Jackson started preaching. And he said, Brother Mays said, that boy on that row took that book that he had and threw it up in the air and said, I can't take it any longer. I've got to get saved by the grace of God. And here's what the boy told in his testimony. He said, I was doing all right and I could do good until I got in that dormitory every night and the lights went out. And he said, all I could see all night long was that finger, that preacher pointing straight at me saying, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Now I'm telling you that a man or a woman with the power of God upon them can't make a change in the life of a sinner. Right. If we got the power of God on us, we can. Like I said, there's not many people who pay that price for that power. That is exactly right. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Third thing we have to do is shun sin. You're going to have to stay away from sin. I mean, stay away from it. Don't make provisions for it. You want the power of God? You cannot, or we cannot, have the power of God in us and on us and have sin and known sin in our lives at the same time.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you the best thing that you can do when you realize that there is some sin, I don't care how little or small it might be, if there is a sin in our life, the best thing we can do is flee to the throne and confess that thing, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us of that and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Then stay away from it. Praise God, we don't have to get out there and wallow around in the muck and the mire of the world. A lot of Baptists think they can get by with it. I know a preacher one time that thought he could go down to Bourbon Street and win the prostitutes and the drunks on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. You know what happened to him? He wound up a whoremonger and a lush. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can't meddle with sin, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot play with fire without getting burned. You cannot take fire in your bosom without getting burned. It's going to burn you. Now, I'm just simply telling you, we're going to have to stay away from that sin. Now, I want to look at this desire. Elisha had a desire for that power of God, for a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. He longed for it. Have you ever really longed? Come on now, listen to Brother Hall. Is there anybody in here this morning that's even interested in possessing the power of God? Have you ever really longed for it? Has there ever been anything in your life that you can go back to and remember that you wanted it so bad that you would do anything under the sun that it took to get it? Well, I'm telling you, that's the same kind of desire you're going to have for the power of God. It's not something that is just going to happen to you. A lot of people think that the power of God in our life is something that's just going to come along and happen to us someday eventually while we're serving God. It doesn't happen that way, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to have to be a real heart's desire for the power of God before it's ever going to be experienced in a Christian's life. Boy, I remember when I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than anything else in the world. And I'm telling you, I know what it means to hunger and thirst after the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Brother Joel, I know many people today I'm talking about church members now, that are really hungering and thirsting after the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, I know we hunger and thirst after the Word of God. I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're ever going to have the power of God, there's going to be such a desire that you're going to have to hunger after Him. David said, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now I want you to hear what I'm telling you. There's a lot of people that are panting like that little deer after the blessings of God, but there's not many of them that are panting after God. David didn't want the blessings of God, he wanted God. Somebody said, now preacher, come on now. I'm telling you a fact. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you'll ever get God in your life enough with the power of God, you will have the blessings of God on your life. Amen. Somebody said something the other day about what God had done in my life. And I said, all I can say is, I know what it was. And I hope there ain't nobody listening. But Jordan went with Miss Hall and I this past week, last week, for a couple of days back home. She saw some of the little shacks that our family lives in. And she said, Monkey come to me and said, Poppy, said, why does some of your family live in those little places and you live in a big house like you do? And I thought, that's a good question. And I had to think on that for a minute. But the answer suddenly came to my mind. There's only one way to explain it. God and His blessings. That's the only way to explain it, is God and His blessings. Somebody said, well, why'd they do it? I don't know. You have to ask Him. I don't deserve anything any more than anybody else does. But I'm telling you, God has blessed this old boy in his life. And I am thankful for it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you never get thankful for what God's done for you now, you'll never have any more than what you have now. Amen. Our problem is we don't want to thank God for the little things. It's always something big we're looking for. But if we'll thank God for the little things, God will bless us with the big things someday. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. That's right. Praise God. I can remember when I thanked God for $5 to get a little bit of gasoline in the car. I remember when I thanked God that a police officer came by just the same time that a Ray Bottom radiator hose blew off of that old Oldsmobile. That police officer came by and took us back down to Jellicoe, Tennessee, so we could get a hose and put on it, put water in it, and make our way on back to Greenville. I raised that hood on that old Oldsmobile, and I heard that thing said, boom! I thought a bomb went off under it. Son, steam was rolling everywhere. That thing sounded like a whining pig. That police officer pulled up and he said, you having trouble? And I said, officer, you're the most blessed thing I've seen all day. I said, is there a part house around here? And he said, yeah, but it's closed. But he said, I know the owner and we'll get it open. I wonder what made that police officer just come by to just then. Come on, listen. I mean, just then that police officer came by. You think that was an accident? Oh, no. That wasn't no accident. That was a blessing of God. Do you think it was an accident that he knew the fellow that owned the parts shop? And hey, and had him at the parts shop. I don't know how he done it, but he got on the radio somewhere and had him at the parts shop when we got there. Went back up and he stayed right there with me till I got that hose on, got water and coolant back in that old Oldsmobile, and down the road we went. That officer said, take care now, preacher. Have a safe trip. Somebody said, well, that's the blessings of God.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm telling you, you're never going to have them until you've got a desire. You're going to have to long for it.
Amen.
You know what? I eat a lot of them White Castles, and you know what them White Castles got on the box? They said, the thing you crave.
Amen.
That's what it was, the thing you crave.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. There ought to be a craving after the Holy Ghost. And His power, I heard a preacher say one time, no preacher to ever come to my church and preach that you got to ask God to fill you with the Spirit or ask Him for the power of God. It's just there. I mean, it's ours. I mean, it's given to the church. Everybody's got it. And I thought to myself, oh boy, there's only one thing wrong with that. Everybody don't have it. Everybody don't have the power of God on them. And they don't have enough power with God in order to get from God what it takes to change and influence the lives of men.
Amen.
You might as well say, men, we have lost our influence as a church today. Churches have lost their influence in the world, buddy. These people out there spit on you and wouldn't think a bit more about the man in the moon. That's right, they wouldn't spit on some of you if he was on fire. I'm telling you right.
Yes, sir.
If you think the world loves you, you're crazy.
Amen.
That world out there, friend, wishes we was all dead.
Amen.
Oh, they wouldn't dare say that, but I'm telling you, you just be around them a little bit. Miss Hall and I was walking down that hallway down there the other day. I think we're still getting Vanderbilt, going to Vanderbilt on Friday. And I was hobbling along, and she was walking along with me, and I heard people noise coming up behind me. I started looking. There was two girls and a boy, young man. And I'm telling you, these are the weirdest looking things I've ever seen in my life. And had them tell you, they were doctors or nurses or something. They walked by me, and they was about as close to me as they was closer from here to that front row. And I said, honey, God have mercy. I said, I wouldn't let one of them three touch me with a 10-foot pole, much less a needle. I said, that man's a faggot. I didn't care if it hurt me. It's a fact.
Amen.
That crowd is not my friend, and they're not your friend.
Amen.
Now, there are sinners out there that need to be saved. But you can say what you want, friend. Some of them, as God has turned over to a reprobate mind, and they're going nowhere but to hell on a bobsled. Mark her down. Amen. That's right. I better hurry. Thank God I've already preached 20 minutes this morning. That's about long enough, I guess. Now, Elisha saw something in Elijah's life that he wanted. He said, I want a double portion of that spirit. Now, he saw in that man of God's life something he wanted. You know, and I could name you several men that I have, several preachers that's crossed my path in my lifetime. And you can ask my wife, I've looked at those men and I've said, those men have something that I don't want, but I really would like to have it. I remember the first time Wilbur Hurd ever preached at our church back home. He said the fact he'd been preaching 25 years. And I thought, boy, I'll never preach that long. I've done past it. I've already passed it. But I remember thinking to myself, boy, I'd like to have what old Brother Hurt's got. He's got the power of God on him. You could tell it. He influenced my life. Harold Seidler influenced my life. When I saw that old man of God, as old as he was, still standing behind that pulpit and proclaiming the Word of God and knowing that he done it in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, I said, he's got a power on him that I want. And he influenced my life. I would have got out a double portion of Harold Tyler's spirit. Oh yes, somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy, friend. I'm telling you, we need something on us that we can turn this world upside down for the glory of God. It don't take a big crowd. It takes God, and that's something that we don't have. He took 11 people one day and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You think he'd tell us to do something we can't do? Oh, sir, buddy. I'll tell you, the missing ingredient is the power of God. That's exactly right. He saw something in Elijah's life that he wanted. He was influenced by God's power on his life. No question about it. Has anybody, you ever been influenced by anybody?
Amen.
It's got the power of God on their life. Huh?
Yes, sir.
I have. But I'm going to tell you something. Those kind of men are getting fewer and far between.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you some church members that wasn't preachers.
Amen.
That had enough of God's power on their life. They've influenced me.
Yes.
From a long, long time ago. This whole night, a man named Harold Smallwood. I'm going to tell you, Harold had something on him. I saw it as a deacon in a church. He had something on him as the rest of the people in the church did not have. And there's only one way of explaining that. That he had a longing in his heart and a love in his soul for Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's what we're going to have to get back to. Loving Him. Oh, God. Loving Him. That's what we're going to have to get back to. Praise God. We always want to brag about God loving us. Well, I'm glad that He does, thank God, but I wonder how much we love Him.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. Elisha demonstrated his desire for that power simply by following Elijah. He said, I'm not going to leave you. Well, I'm going here. Well, I am too. Well, I'm going here. I am too. Can I say something to you preachers in here? I'm going to say it whether you want me to or not. If you even think you're called to preach, the best thing you can do, and it's not me, it's somebody else. But I tell you what, you find a man of God that you know has got the power of God on his life, and grab him by the coattail and don't let him go. And you'll see that someday his mantle will fall upon you just like Elijah did on Elisha. And I'm going to tell you, young boys today got the idea that they've got her all down pat, know everything about it, and don't need nothing the old man of God's got to say. They just close up their ears to everything he knows because they already know it all. They don't know half as much as they think they know. Amen. You don't know how hard a horse bucks until you ride it, friend. You don't know how high a steer can kick till you get on his back. Come on in the house, children. You'll catch that after a while. Now what I'm saying is you've got to ride a little while in order to learn some things. And you learn by mistakes, but you also learn by observation. And you learn by the battles you fight and the victories you win. Are you listening? Hey, some folks ain't never walked down that road, but they know everything about it.
Amen.
They know everything about that road. They've never been down it. It's like my uncle one day took us all to the Indianapolis State Fair, the Indiana State Fair up in Indianapolis. He told my daddy, come back, said, I will take a shortcut. My daddy said, is that road good? He said, Truman, he said, it's as straight as a string and smooth as a floor. Now I'm going to tell you what it was like. If you could ride an automobile across the Grand Canyon, that's about what it was like. You know why? He said he had never been down that road. He just thought it was that way. It wasn't that way. Now I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of things in our Christian life are not the way that we think they ought to be. But a man or a woman that has walked with God, I'm not just talking about a preacher, I'm talking about the elderly men and the elderly women in the church that has walked with God for a while and know some things about God, they have been down that road.
Amen.
They know where the potholes are.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, not only was there a desire, but there's got to be a little determination. Three different times Elijah said, I'm going here, Elisha, you stay here. He said, I'm going to Bethel. He said, not, said, you stay here. And he said, not on your life. He said, if you go to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. They left Gilgal. Not, and Gilgal is a type of God. Gilgal is a round circle. It's kind of a type of God. And I know that God's in God's house. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But Bethel is a type of God's house. And they left God and went straight to God's house. And Elijah said, hey, if you're going to the house of God, I'm going to the house of God. Well, I'm telling you, the house of God plays a role in our life, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God, I'd rather be here this morning barking out at you and carrying on like I'm than doing anything I under this in this world that I know to do. Oh yes, I thank God for the house of God that we should come to and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, and occasionally watch some old sinner get birthed into the family of God. Amen. Or watch some old saint get filled up with the Holy Ghost, or watch some old saint get stirred up back up against the wall and say, yay! Thank God I've been to Calvary, been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, forgiven of all my sins, sealed by the Holy Ghost, sanctified by the Word of God, and I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Thank God. Yes, sir, buddy. I like it. I like it when Jerome jumps up and says, amen! I like it when Brother Joel takes off and them legs about that long. Amen. That's right. I like it, friend. You might not, but I do. He said, if you're going to the house of God, I'm going to the house of God. And Elijah said, Elijah, stay here. I'm going down to Jericho. He said, oh, I ain't staying here. I've heard about Jericho. It's a fragrant place down there. It's got a sweet odor to it. It's wonderful. Down there, he said, I think I'll just go down there with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I could just about have a running spell if I could run. But I'm going to tell you, there's some fragrance, there's some sweet smells in serving God. Oh, you better believe there are. There's some real, they talk about fragrances. And women said, I like this kind of fragrance. Well, I like this kind of fragrance. Well, I like this kind of fragrance. Well, I'm going to tell you what I like. You know what my doctor told me the other day? How many of them things was on that test? 60? Out of 60 things on a smell test, you know how many of them I got right? Yeah, when I was down at the hospital. 16. Now I'm going to tell you how I got them right. I guessed at all 16 of them. I'm just telling you a fact. With what I got, when I smelt that first thing, I said, whew. And that, hey, and from then on, all 59 others smelt exactly like that first one. I couldn't get out of it. I smelt one, and it had on there a different thing you had to pick. Miss Hall was scratching it off, and I'd smell it, and she'd mark it. I said, and the four things there, and I said, that's pizza. You know what it was? Gasoline. I can't smell. I'm telling you a fact, I love coffee and I love to smell it brewing, but I can't even smell coffee brewing anymore. But I sure can drink her. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I put that coffee down. Hallelujah. Amen. And I like to eat an egg with it every now and then. And a slab of bacon. Amen, Brother Ricky. A good slab of bacon, son, to go with it. And a biscuit and a little bit of that gravy. Amen. Some sausage in that gravy. Yes, sir, boy. Well, how did I get off on all that? Lord have mercy. Brother Roloff would turn over in his grave. But he said, I'm going down to that fragrant place. And then Elijah said this. He said, Elijah, you stay here. He said, God's told me to go to Jordan. Now, I may get ahead of myself right here. I don't want you to leave me. But they got down there by Jordan, and Elijah said, you've been chasing me all this time, following after me, you've not left me. He said, I know you're wanting something. He said, what is it you want before I leave here? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want twice the power that you've got. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, it'll be given to you. But if you don't, it won't. Are you listening? Now, right before that, I believe it's right before that, they came to Jordan. And Elijah wrapped that mantle around his hand and smote the waters. And the Bible said they parted hither and thither, and they both went over on dry ground. The chariot of fire came down and went right through the middle of them. The chariot went one way, and Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind the other way. And Elijah said, "My father, my father! The horses of Israel and the chariot thereof." And he looked over and he grabbed that, looked at that mantle, and he picked up that mantle and walked back to the Jordan and smote them waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" But that water parted and he walked back over on the other side. Now I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. When Elijah smoked that water, he went out of Canaan land back into the wilderness side of Canaan. When Elisha smoked that, he come out of the wilderness side back into the Canaan side. Now, I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying. And I know that the Jordan River, it is a type of death, but it's not a type. It's not a type of the physical death. I understand that. But it could be made. We could spiritualize it a little bit. Now, you listen to that. This is me. This is Brother Hall. I didn't read this out of a book. But I'm going to tell you what. When old Elijah smoked that Jordan River from the Canaan side and went over onto the other side, and that whirlwind came, that chariot came, and that whirlwind took him up to heaven, I'm going to tell you what that's a type of. That is a type of the Old Testament saint, or that is a type of the saints who have died in the Lord and been resurrected. Hallelujah. That is a type of the rapture of the dead. Woo!
Amen.
And when Elisha smoked that water and went back over into Canaan, that's a type of you and I that are alive and remaining. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Glory to His wonderful name. I'm telling you, the dead on one side, the living on the other side, and the rapture's going to catch us all up to be with God some wonderful day. By the way, don't worry about my blood pressure. Check it before we come out here, and it was 166 over 106. I'm doing all right. Amen. Thank God. If she falls a little bit, that'd be good for me. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Oh, saints, them dead saints got up, and them living saints got up and went on up, both of them at the same time. What about that? Isn't that good? Thank God. I like it. You might not, but I do. I do. Now, I'm going to close because it's dinner time and I'm hungry as you are. But I'm not going to go through these. But there was a discovery made by Elisha. In verse 14, when he smote that water, he discovered that he had something that he had never had before in his whole life.
Amen.
He got that double portion. Amen. Now I'm telling you, if you and I'll ever get that kind of power on us, we'll realize we got something we ain't never had before.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when I got out of them shavings at Greer Camp Meeting, I realized, like, God, I had something on me I'd never had before. Amen. Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you what. It was a feeling that the Holy Ghost called me, whatever you want to call me. But I'm telling you that Baptist people need an old time feeling of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, did you speak in tongues? Why should I? God's understood me all those years before that in English.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's speaking no tongues.
Amen.
Although I did have a new tongue. It learned how to glorify Him a little bit more. Because I, like most of them young preachers down there, I thought I'd arrived. I found out I wasn't nothing but a pep squeak.
Amen.
Still ain't nothing but a pep squeak. But I'm going to tell you something. Every now and then I like to squeak.
Amen.
Yes, I'm talking about preaching a little bit. Squeaking her a little bit. Amen. Somebody said, well, you preach too long. That's why I preach too long, because I like it. statues on you. If you was eating a bowl of nanner pudding, would you slatter to the side and quit before you got full? No, sir, buddy, you would sit there and eat her till she is gone. I'm going to sit here and eat it till it's gone. Amen to God. I like it. Hallelujah to God. I'm saved, 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 saved. Thank God. And not only saved, but I know I'm saved and I'm going to enjoy it whether you want to or not. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your somber, sober face ain't going to stop me from rejoicing, praising God. Thank God this old sinner boy got in one day. Whoop! I'm on my way to heaven now. I'm going on my way to heaven. Amen. Amen. That's right. And whether I go in the chariot from the dead side like Elijah did, or on this side of the living where the living, like Elijah did. It matters not to me one way or the other. You know why? I'm going to wind up in the same place. Woo! They both wind up in the same place. Whether we're dead in Christ and He's coming or alive, we're all going to the same place. There's a pathway that leads to the throne. Thank God there's a road to the throne. Woo! And it ain't that yellow brick road, friend. It don't lead to the Wizard of Oz. It leads to the God of glory. May I say to you this morning, open up the gates and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? Why, Jesus our Lord is the King of Glory. Amen. Let Him in today. That's right. Now, thank the Lord. Amen. Well, I've done overshot the game plan. He possessed something he never had before. And in verse number 15, some of the prophets said, look at there. Said, the Spirit of God that used to rest on Elijah is now on Elisha. You know they knew something was different about Elisha.
Right.
You get the power of God on you and other people can see it.
Amen.
They'll know there's something different about you. Yep. They'll know there's something different about you.
Amen.
I'm closing right here. What is a purpose for the power of God? I'm not going to the... And I'm just mentioning them. The purpose of the power of God is that God has given that power to His church. And we as individuals make up the church. So as individuals, we're all responsible for having that power upon us. And I'm going to say something. We've got to walk in that power.
Amen.
In Acts 3, when Peter and John went up to the house of God at the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By the way, the time of prayer was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They was going to the house of God to pray. Some fellow said, hey, said, I'm. Peter said, look on me. And the guy said, oh, I'm going to get some money. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have power. I'm walking in the power of God. Give I to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you something. Boy, that's just come to me. God always exceeds what we expect Him to do. He told that old boy to get up and walk. You know what he done? He got up and went leaping. he went beyond walking, son. He got to leaping into the house of God.
Hey.
I dare you read that in your Bible. I'm not making up a story. That fellow went leaping into the house of God.
Hey.
You know why he got saved? He was happy. The sin was gone.
Yeah.
Hell was gone forever. Yeah. Heaven was his home. And he got up and went walking and leaping into the house of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you what we do. We most of us crawl in.
Yeah.
Amen. But he wound up walking and leaping in the house of God. They not only walked in the power of God, but they witnessed in the power of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 36. Now, I don't have time to go there, but Peter's a preaching and he's witnessing in the power of God. You know why we can't turn hearts when we tell them about Jesus? No power. It don't register with them. They see nothing in us that they don't see in themselves. They said there were preachers of old that would walk into factories, and the entire factory would shut down. And the owners would give them right to preach there in the factory. They'd go to schools, and the schools would shut down and come to the gymnasium or whatever and listen to the man of God preach. How many of you in here know the Ryman Auditorium down in Nashville, Tennessee? Ever hear of the Ryman? That's where the Grand Ole Opry is at. If you don't know. You know what the Ryman Auditorium was built for? Preaching! What was that preacher's name? Somebody help me. Sam P. Jones! There was a man, a wealthy man, built Ryman Auditorium, but Sam P. Jones might get up in it and preach the Word of God. And shame on that bunch of hellions in Nashville. They turned it into a den of iniquity when they brought that bunch of singing country music in there. It ought to still be a place to preach the gospel. Now you can like that or lump that. I don't like that old country music.
Sitting on a bar stool, and my baby. My baby looked at him and she left me.
God help us. Then they also worshiped in the power of God. They worshiped in the power of God. Now, number two, the church is besieged by Satan. That's why you need the power of God. And that word besieged means to be hemmed in. Hemmed in with armed forces for a sustained attack. You think the devil's bound to let up?
No, sir.
Oh, great. If I could run like you, I'd run right now. Let's go on. He's got us circled in. And he's throwing his darts and spitting out fiery words at us and accusing us before the brethren.
Amen.
He's doing everything he can to destroy us. But children, I got good news for you. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And it won't. Are y'all tired? Y'all act like you're tired of hearing me. Well, I ain't done preaching yet. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's got a sustained attack. He will not let up. But I'll tell you something else. He will not win. He cannot win. He's not going to win. Hey, God, I've already won. I'm a winner either way. Woo! Woo! Glory to His name. I'm a winner either way, friend. You better believe it. Amen to God. That word means to close in on. He's closing in on. It means to crowd in. He's just crowding in. He's just come making that net smaller and smaller all the time. And then going through his mind, he's saying, I got him. I got him where I want him. That's the same thing he said about Jesus when he died and was in that tomb. He said, I got him. I got him right where I want him. Get him death. Get him corruption. Get him hell. I've got him in there. Get him now. But I'm telling you, death couldn't hold him prey. And he's got the key to hell and death about his girdle just today. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Thanks be unto our God. Amen and amen. He crowded him in and Jesus got up and went up. And when he gets us crowded in tight enough, Jesus is coming down and we're going up. Woo! Y'all have to forgive me. I'm just a little happy today. Got anybody in here who wants the power of God on you? Somebody said, do you have to act like you do to have it? Nope. Absolutely not. The fellow that preached out, Brother Matthias, suggested, I've heard him preach. He's got the power of God on him. He don't preach like I do. I've heard a lot of men. Harold Sider didn't, in his older days, didn't preach this way. He had the power of God on him. Every preacher is not alike. It's not in the jumping. I just get so excited, I jump.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what it's in. The words that proceed out of your mouth.
Right.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's power in words. Somebody said, how do you know there's power in words? That crowd come out to get Jesus that night, and he said, who are you looking for? He said, we're looking at Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm He. When He said, I am, that crowd, the Bible said, they went away backward and fell down. And Judas was with them. I wonder what Judas thought when his old tail end hit the dirt. I bet he said, I'm in trouble. Words! Words! That's where the power is at, friend. Words. Anybody in here want that power this morning? Jesus has got it. He'll give it to you if you want it bad enough. Let's stand together.